Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 27, 2022. Michael Leitman, on Quora, is it necessary for a good leader to be charismatic? We do not need charismatic leaders today. We need leaders who can understand and empathize with people, and who can resonate with people emotionally to guide them to a common goal. However, I see no examples of such leaders in our world today. The human ego blocks us from feeling others. To become such a leader requires rising above the ego's influence, and discovering what it means to become a human being in the fullest sense of the term, as one who positively connects to others, who feels that they are a part of a single system with others and thus who needs to devote themselves to the benefit of others. Today's leaders are the opposite. They are unscrupulous and egocentric, willing to tear down anything and everyone in their way. It is due to the fact that our economy runs on egoistic principles: what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and so whoever can work out how to trample on others more effectively becomes more powerful in such a system. We thus need a new economy if we are to find leaders who can understand and empathize with people. What is this new economy? It is an economy of the heart, an economy that speaks to life itself. People sustaining and living according to such an economy would feel that they can earn and build the world from a different kind of material, one that stems from positive human connections. That is the kind of economy and leader of the future. Although it is very far from where we are now, we are nonetheless destined to reach such a state. Based on the video, is it necessary for a good leader to be charismatic? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Semyon Vinoka. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The tenth part is for the Creator. Question: it is written in the Torah that we must give away the tenth part of everything we receive. What does it mean? Answer: the fact is that the highest part of the spiritual system, Keter, crown, comes directly from the Creator. The influence of the Creator spreads through 9 degrees and reaches the last 10th degree, Malkhut, which wants to receive all the actions of the Creator into itself. Despite the fact that Malkhut receives from the Creator everything beautiful, good, kind, and eternal, this separates it from Him in qualities, since He is the giver and it is the receiver. Therefore, if Malkhut wants to attain the Creator, to get closer to Him, to be not just receiving and distant, but bestowing and close, it makes a restriction on its desire to receive and begins to act, as the Creator is to it, so it is to Him. This is its correction of its nature. By making the restriction on the last phase, you perform the opposite action, that is, you already receive in order to bestow. You continue to receive into the previous 9 Sephirot, but not into Malkhut, and you perform these receptions in order to be connected with the Creator, to bestow to Him. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah studies, how we can become similar to the Creator and thus get closer to Him. Question: is this why in our world this is manifested in the form of the law described in the Torah that the tenth part of the earnings, harvest, and generally everything one receives should be given either to the temple or simply be detached from oneself? Answer: yes, you cannot receive 1/10 of what you earn. This part does not belong to a person. It belongs to the Creator. Therefore, a tenth part is usually given to charity, to spread knowledge about the Creator in the world and to give people an understanding of how to interact with each other, with the Creator, how to rise above their egoistic nature, and so on. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, May 10, 2022. Extremely important work. Question: we recently had students enroll in new courses on the study of Kabbalah. If you could address these thousands of students, what would you wish for them? Answer: I would wish them the opportunity to devote the maximum amount of time to studying the foundations of Kabbalah, which they would master in such a way as a basis for further insight into society, nature, and the world. Question: Many of our friends help students by supporting their learning process, organizing groups and workshops, and helping them advance in their studies. What would you wish for these friends? Answer: what they do is very important. Just as blood vessels in our body deliver nutrition, information, and a huge amount of everything necessary for each organ of the body so it lives, so the spiritual life depends on these people. They bring through themselves, through their connection with beginners, all the data that is in Kabbalah in such a form and to such an extent that it is absorbed by people whom it gradually raises along the spiritual degrees, into the state of real, correct, and mutual coexistence with vast nature, with the Creator. So their work is extremely important. From Cab TV's Kabbalah Express, April 29, 2022. We should fight according to schedule. Comment: Michael is asking, you said that there can be no love without hate. What if there is no hatred, but I really want to love? My response: this is a big problem. It means that you need to look for such shortcomings in love, within yourself, that prevent you from loving. Question: does it mean that I myself have put these barriers for myself? Answer: yes. Comment: it seems to me that I love. My response: no. You do not love. You must constantly take care to increase love, and this is not easy. Question: so, can it only happen on the wave of hatred? Answer: something like this. Yes. Question: then should you and I be expecting a great love right now? Today, at this time? Answer: when we reach true hatred and love is revealed above it, it will, of course, be a great liberation of humanity. Comment: but an ordinary person does not think so. He lives in this flow of love and lives in it. My response: but as soon as he touches some kind of love, some kind of good relationship, he immediately spoils them because he is not ready. He has not prepared hatred, rejection, criticism, and everything so negative to constantly pile love above it. Question: how can you increase love all the time, or how can you maintain it all the time? Answer: agree to fight with a certain frequency. Question: how? According to a schedule? That is, for example, do we fight on Friday? Answer: it could be. I am being completely serious. There cannot be one without the other. To tease each other somehow, to poke a little, something like that. We do it subconsciously anyway. It is natural. Nature itself pulls and pushes us to this in order for us to develop contact with each other. Question: how can we control so that we do not fall into this hatred at this moment? Answer: keep the correct goal. The correct goal is connection, embracing and getting closer to each other. However, for the sake of this, we still need to step back a little, look at the other somehow. This is, in principle, a game. Question: we were talking about a married couple. What about nations and parties? Answer: everything is arranged in this way. If we correctly develop married couples and then society, let's say in the classroom, at school, which is completely not yet understood by our teachers, and then at work, then we will constantly take into account these periods when we should be distancing from each other, and then coming closer to each other, distancing, coming closer. Question: can we say criticism rising above criticism? Answer: yes. Question: do countries also exist in the same way? Answer: absolutely in everything. This is a reciprocating motion. Question: what about the universe, is it the same? Answer: it also goes along with the pulse. Our pulse works in the same way. Our heart, and our brains, and absolutely everything works in such an alternating state. Question: will this be the correspondence with nature? Answer: yes. Question: will love be growing all the time? Will there be a connection? Answer: you can call one state negative, the other positive, or one and two, no matter how, but they must constantly alternate with each other, like day and night. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 14, 2022. Unfounded hatred. Before the people of Israel begin any kind of rapprochement among themselves, they need to realize the reason and explore what forces are dividing them. Balha Sulam writes about narrow egoism based on hatred and the shameless use of one's neighbor. It is narrow egoism that does not consider anything and wants to use everyone only for its own sake, which is our national quality and prevents us from uniting. Question: why is such hatred called unfounded? Answer: because it has no justification. The fact that nature encourages you to use your neighbor is understandable. But why does it act the way it does? Of course, you are not acting without a reason. You can always say, "I felt like that." Question: so unfounded hatred exists only among the Jews or among all nations as well? Answer: only among Jews. Comment: but we see how people of other nations destroy each other with such hatred. My response: it does not matter. Let them eat each other if they want to, but there is still a reason for that. And with us, it comes from above. The reason for our mutual rejection of each other is above the level of inanimate, vegetative, animate, and egoistic human nature. The Creator Himself, nature itself, arouses hatred in us, so that we rise above it. When we do not see any possibility of existing with our huge egoism, mutual hatred, and rejection, then we will rise above them. Question: is it like a game? Answer: of course, this is a game, to rise above yourself. From CabTV's Spiritual States, April 26, 2022. What should the prayer be like? Question: Nadsa writes, today I have a great desire to address the women of the whole world about peace and love. I am sure that only women can save the world. Do you think if I write a letter to all the women of the world and send it out, it will change something in the world? Or is it all my illusion and everything is already predetermined? Answer: it is desirable to do this by all means. Write from a pure heart such an appeal, not just an appeal, but a proclamation that would really glue them to your appeal, and all this common force would go around the earth. Question: so I shouldn't think, but write as I feel? Answer: no, you need to think about it. Because people will not read it in the state that you, the writer, experience it. Therefore, you have to think. Think about how the person will perceive it. But still in the end he should be imbued with what you want to convey to him. Question: so if a person wants to write about love and peace, then it breaks into people's hearts? Answer: yes, right, definitely. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 10, 2022. Truth and verity. Often, the surest way to convey misinformation is to tell the strict truth, Mark Twain. Question: in principle, we consider something to be the truth and something to be a lie. This is in a way the basis of our perception of the world. Is there any mechanism to distinguish between truth and lie? How can a person orientate himself? Answer: I do not think this is quite simple. Finding the truth is the goal of many quests of all people, from a small child to great minds, depending on the level and how they see this truth. The search for truth is, of course, a very unrewarding task, but it is at the same time a very human one. It develops us, and pulls us, forward. Basically, we live in order to understand the meaning of our life. This is our most important quest. This is what we exist for. Question: does the truth somehow differ from verity? Are these different concepts? Answer: truth is when we can say that it is true or false, the greater truth, the lesser truth. Verity is something that is unshakable. We want to attain it. Each degree toward attainment of verity can be called truth. From CAB TV's Kabbalah Express, April 29, 2022. Michael Leitman, on Quora: why is desire so destructive yet natural at the same time? Specifically, the desire of the human is destructive both to itself and to its environment. We do not see the same kind of destructive desire in nature's other levels, that is, the still, vegetative and animate. We humans have destructive desires because we are made of a desire to enjoy at the expense of others and nature, and this desire is in constant growth. In our era particularly, we experience life through an overblown desire to enjoy, and we thus bear witness to much more destructive phenomena than in any other era. Nature's other levels do not have the same amount of desire to enjoy that we have as humans, which makes us the sole destructive element in nature. However, there is a purpose to our destructive desires. They develop us to a state where we realize the need for serious introspection, to see that our desire to enjoy is pushing us to destroy ourselves and our planet. Such a realization should urge us to reach a decision for change, that we have to build a different life, one based on positively connecting to each other with ties of mutual love, support and consideration. When we undergo a significant attitude shift from a desire for self-benefit to one aimed at benefiting others and nature, then we will see a whole new, harmonious and peaceful life of happiness, safety and confidence open up to us. Based on the video, Why Are Our Desires So Destructive? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Nitza Mazatz. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.